Hello, listeners. Welcome to our summer series spectacular. If you're fans of any of these podcasts, then you know we've been releasing some special episodes over on our Patreon. And unfortunately, we have not gotten the response that we had hoped. So we have discontinued our Patreons for now, but would like these episodes to be enjoyed by a larger audience. I want to start by apologizing to the people who did pay a few dollars to get these exclusive episodes when they were exclusive. Your generosity and support is still very appreciated, and hopefully in the future we will offer some more exclusive episodes over there and see if we can't get a few more supporters to join you over on that special feed. But until then, we're going to be releasing these special episodes right here, right now, and all summer long. On the Time Pop feed, we have some what we call time travel-ish movies. Things that are kind of, you know, maybe time-altering, mind-bending, reality-fuckery kinds of movies that I think you will enjoy on this main feed, even if they don't fall directly into our time travel purview. I may or may not have used that word properly. Whatever. For our Thank the Light audience, because there's only so much Wheel of Time content out there. Over there on the Patreon, we were experimenting with some other fantasy movies. So hopefully you're just a fan of Justin, Jeremy, and Desmond talking about stuff. So we're going to have some fantasy film discussions on the Thank the Light feed. And on the Movies R Us feed, apologies. We're going to take a little bit of a break from official Movies R Us releases just because we got really busy. You know, we knew this summer was going to be a little bit busy. We were doing our best to get caught up. And Desmond is moving. Justin is probably going to be moving. And Jeremy doesn't want to do the podcast by himself. So we're going to, again, hopefully you're just fans of us and what we talk about. And even if it is not an official toy-related product, hopefully you will enjoy us talking about some fantasy movies over there as well, just because our voices are beautiful. I hope you enjoy these special episodes. If you're only subscribing to Time Pop, why don't you subscribe to Movies R Us and or Thank the Light so you can get some other exclusive movie content. If you just like to hear us talking about films, it's going to be a great summer. We will definitely be back with new content. We have some very exciting things we're going to put into motion for Thank the Light. Movies R Us is just going to be back in full effect later this summer. We're liking what we're doing over there. We have a lot of fun movies to talk about. And if you're a Time Pop fan and you like listening to Scott and I just talk about weird, mind-bending movies, let us know at timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. If you're enjoying this, us expanding our definition of Time Pop movies, and we may put more of these types of movies on this feed in the future. If you're a Movies R Us fan, just let us know when we get back to our official Movies R Us. Let us know some movies you want us to move to the top of our list. That is moviesruspod@gmail.com. That is moviesruspod@gmail.com. And if you're a Thank the Light fan, Wheel of Time fan, as you know, the show is getting put off. So we're trying to figure out the best way to discuss the books. Again, we've got some exciting things that we're going to do there to try to hype up those book discussions as we wait for more Wheel of Time episodes to get back to Amazon Prime. And if you enjoy listening to us talk about fantasy movies, maybe we can squeeze one of these in here and there just to spice it up as we wait for Rafe Judikins to get those episodes out to us. And whatever feed you're listening to, send us a message. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, because these shows are nothing without you. So if, you know, we're not going to listen to all your suggestions, but if you want to sheepdog us in a direction that makes us more fun to listen to and maybe bring more people into the fold, we would love to hear from you. ThankTheLight@gmail.com, TimePopPod@gmail.com, MoviesRUsPod@gmail.com. That is movies, the letter R, us, pod@gmail.com. Enjoy.
doing things.
It's Patreon time, people.
Patreon party. Get your Patreon.
You know what?
How?
There's no sex in the champagne room, but there's more movies.
How about the Patreon party? Party Treon.
I think get your Patreon. I think you nailed
it. All right. We'll do a different theme song every time, folks.
So I am just going to jump right into this.
Do it.
We watched Demolition Man from 1996? Is that right?
I believe so. It felt like 1992, but...
You know what? Now that I say it out loud, I think it might be a little bit... 1993. There we go. That's...
It was realistic. Yeah,
1993.
It is.
Rated R.
It was the future for them.
1 hour and 55 minutes. This starring Sylvester Stallone, Wesley Snipes, Sandra Bullock.
Yo.
Rob Schneider, Dennis Leary, and directed by...
His first film.
His only film, I think.
Yeah, they were like, no, we're not giving you any more.
Is it? I mean, this movie is competently directed, right? Like, why?
For the year it came out, sure.
Whatever problems there are with this movie, it's not, I don't think it's the director.
I read that there was a Roger Ebert that year is like, why is this film considered successful and Last American Hero at the same time is unsuccessful? He was just like, these are both whatever.
Yeah, totally.
I think the expectation for Schwarzenegger was higher and the expectation for Stallone at that point was lower. And this like brought him back for like cliffhanger and shit.
I didn't realize how early in Sandra Bullock's career this was. Like, I thought
this is after Speed, right? Like,
it's right before Speed.
It's before Speed?
Yeah.
No.
Like
for when it was released?
Well, I don't know, because I read on the IMDb Tribune, because that's where I get all my news from. Rob Schneider apparently had a conversation with her, and she was talking about doing this bus movie next, and Rob Schneider was like, you sure you want to do that movie next? So I think she like went straight from, like, she did a lot of stuff before this, but it was all TV and different stuff. Like, I knew this was early on in her career, but I didn't realize that there is two Sandra Bullocks. There is before Demolition Man and after Demolition Man. And
Oh, you're right. Demolition Man was first.
Yeah.
Wow. I remembered like, the Sandra Bullock's movie. This was like one of her debut. I mean, she really sold herself more in Speed, I think.
Yes.
She became everyone's favorite darling.
Yeah. Like, it might be because of this movie, like, cause she was probably kind of the standout in this, because everyone, Wesley Snipes is Wesley Sniping. Sylvester Stallone is Sylvester Stalloning. And then who's this Sandy? Who's this? What's she doing next? Ooh, Speed. Why not?
Yeah.
So this movie, this was such a trip for me because I've seen this movie a lot. Like, this movie was just in my VHS wheelhouse and it's fun to throw on and watch. And it's kind of funny. You can kind of follow it, kind of not. So I was like, this is one of those movies that I'm like almost tempted to podcast about without watching. Like, I got it. I'm good.
Yeah.
You get this. You press play on this movie and grab a notebook. And this movie is fucking bonkers. Wall to wall. I had to just put my notebook away because I just couldn't write.
There's a lot.
I couldn't write fast enough all of the shit that jumps out of this movie.
There's a lot to talk about.
What's your, like, because you're like in the height, you're in college, you're watching cool indie stuff and talking to your friends about awesome movies. Like, where is this in your...
What year? This is 93?
Yeah.
Let's see, 93. Oh, I was in first year. It's not like Tarantino indie film era yet. So yeah, I remember seeing this in the theater. And I was still, at that point, I loved every film. Every film, I was like, 8.5, everything's great. But I do remember seeing this film and being like a little bit disappointed. I remember a little bit like, eh. And I remember just having the opinion of like, there's so much glass breaking in this film. It's like distracting how much glass is broken. The top two films that I think, the Superman, the Henry Cavill one, is like a lot of breaking buildings and broken glass and throwing you through buildings to a point where it's like obnoxious and you're over it. These two films and all of filmdom stand out for me for the most, like, to a point where like, okay, yeah, you've broken a lot of shit. You've thrown people in through buildings and walls. Like, we get it. So rewatching it, but I hadn't seen it forever, and I remember it had an interesting take on the future. But I rewatched it, and you know, I don't know, it doesn't hold up great. I mean, it's a fun romp. It's just very much that time period, right? It's the Stallone tough cop one-liners. It's the Wesley Snipes poor man's Joker. And like a very overdone take on like an over woke future. You know, and then our hero would be like, I like red meat and cigarettes and sex. You know, and then, you know, Dennis Leary in his peak, when he kind of broke through on MTV doing these commercials, these fucking rants of like, here's what I want. I want this. And he would just go off on a rant. And then clearly they put him in the movie and he just does another rant. Like, that's what you wanted from him at the time. And he does like his shtick.
One word, history. What does it do? It repeats itself over and over again. 1967, 1992. Hey, the plaque and the Statue of Liberty reads, bring me your poor, your tired, your huddled masses, okay? Translation, everyone's invited. All colors, all creeds, BYOB. It doesn't read, bring me your blonde, your white, your Anglo-Saxon Protestants with gold Visa cards and black BMWs. No, I got two words for George Bush, par four. I think Rodney King said it best when he said, ow, 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 ow. Racism isn't born, folks. It's taught. I have a two-year-old son. You know what he hates? Naps. End of list. Two words. Al Sharpton. Daryl Strawberry gets thrown out at home plate. This guy mounts a protest march outside Dodger Stadium. I got three words for Al Sharpton. Martin Luther King, okay? We need to get everybody together. We need to get the whites and the off-whites, the pinks and the creams, the purples and the browns and the blacks and the yellows and the reds and the burnt siennas. We need to get the whole big box of Crayola crayons. We need to sit down and start coloring within the lines, okay? White America, this is your 1992 wake-up call. In 15 years, we are going to be the minority in this country. I got three words for white America. Como usta usted.
So forced in there. So I was watching it this time, like, hey, let me look at like their sly takes on the future. And like, let me look at it from that angle. But I don't know. It's a time capsule. It's the time period, right? I can't say that I found this to be like a particularly, what's the word, intellectually thought-provoking or creative film.
Yeah, it's, like I said, I have a real soft spot for this movie. And it held up. And everyone out there, I didn't have to go far. I did watch my own DVD of this film in my four pack of Stallone movies, which comes with Over the Top.
Wow.
A Demolition Man.
Yep.
Tango and Cash.
Oh, come on.
And
Cliffhanger?
No. It's
because Cliffhanger is good, I think.
No, I have to get it out. Hold on.
Oh, he's going to get it. All right. So what mediocre Stallone movie can they not sell on their own that they need to put in this four set to make it count? I'm going to guess. Wait, let me see if I can guess. So the other things you do, these are 90s mediocre Stallone films, 80s and some.
The Specialist.
Oh, wow. Yep. You can't sell that on its own.
Have you ever seen The Specialist?
I have. This was like right after Sharon Stone, Basic Instinct came out, and they were trying to sell her and put in like little bits of nudity. Not a lot, but like little bits. And Sliver came out, and then The Specialist, I think.
Where is, I can't even remember. Why can't I remember their names?
It's like, it still has like this torrid affair, but it's also an action film.
Everyone out there, watch it just so you can see these two men share screen time. James Woods and Eric Roberts. The same screen. It is bonk. It's one of those movies I was like, it was the one movie on my four pack I hadn't seen, and I've had this four pack for years now, and I was like, I need to watch this dumb movie. And I put it on and was like, whoa. And I wasn't paying very much attention to it, and I would just look up every once in a while. I'm like, wow, I need to watch this movie, and maybe with Scott.
The Specialist, man. There's some films that just get forgotten about in time. And I put Specialist along with like The Saint, Val Kilmer. Like,
yeah.
What's the other? The Spirit, right? Did that get made? The Shadow?
The Shadow, or just Shadow. Yeah.
There is a Spirit film, I think.
I think you're
like, these are lesser known, like 40s heroes.
Oh my God. I didn't realize. Oh, of course.
Yeah. 2008 Spirit film with Gabriel Macht. Oh, he was the Spirit? Scarlett Johansson's in it? Eva Mendes? Wow.
Oh, man. Everyone.
That'll be fun to watch.
If we get 10 new patrons by next week, we'll watch The Spirit.
Look at the Spirit poster. It looks exactly like Sin City.
Oh, and by the way, Scott, before we get too far into this movie, why are we watching this on a time travel adjacent podcast? Like, what?
Yeah, right. So this is on the Patreon. The Patreon, we can take some more liberties with adjacent. This raises the question, and we'd love to hear from you, audience, because this could change the bar. If a person is frozen in time and then ends up in a time period they should never have existed in, is it time travel?
First of all,
because then Captain America is.
He would have existed. This isn't like Idiocracy where it's thousands of years in the future.
Right.
This is 38 years in the future. So Stallone probably would have made it. This is 2032.
He might be 30 when he was, let's say he was 30 at best when he was put in the freezer. And this was like supposed to be another 38 years.
Yeah.
So yeah, alive, senior citizen. But the Captain America syndrome, if you're sleeper, if you're frozen and you're in a time period you shouldn't exist at. It's technically, when we talk about time travel, are we talking about that someone is ripping through time and space somehow, like moving through it? Or are we talking about that a human exists in a time they shouldn't? Because, you know, you could talk about what's the Paris one with the Woody Allen? He's kind of traveling. Well, he's just in a time period he shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
It asks the question. It asks the debate.
Yeah.
This belongs in the conversation of what is time travel? Someone out of place, out of time, in a time they shouldn't be in. Things like Captain America and this, where they're frozen, or things, you know.
Because in theory, like Sylvester Stallone, it's instantaneous.
Right.
You know.
Why is one more valuable than if someone can project their psyche, or just like in the Woody Allen movie, he's just there, like a carriage picks him up. It's not big science time travel. Is one more valuable than the other? We don't know. Tell us what you think. Anyway, that's why this is on the list. And it's examining the future. We are showing a future. And, you know, what does that show about our guests of the future? And that's what makes this film interesting, right? There's a lot of dumb, basic bitch action films of the late 80s and 90s. This one takes a few stabs, a different angle at the future. A lot of the futures are like dystopian Blade Runner stuff. But this one is more like, what if we became too PC? What if we eliminated anything bad for you? No red meat, no cursing, no cigarettes, no sex. You know, what would that look like? And so it's fun. It's a bit over the top and quirky. The song, the music they listen to are like commercial jingles.
So the person who punched up the script, so there's the original screenwriter.
Yeah.
Who just had never done anything before and threw this together. The guy who punched it up and made it filmable is known for Heathers.
Right, I saw that.
Wow.
They said they tried to give it a little bit of humor, that it didn't have any.
Because that's what I was wondering about, if this is one of those, like, just totally different movies that they just, like, slapped a future onto it.
It's a fun examination, like, at a time where there is no more violence, when, like, criminals are gone, violence is gone. But if someone is able to make it who is violent, no one knows how to deal with them. You know, it's a fun thing to look at in this world. They have fun little moments. Like, I don't know what your favorite is. They say out of the franchise wars, Taco Bell won, and they're the only remaining restaurant. And it's like the only restaurant, like every restaurant's a Taco Bell. And so the fanciest restaurant you go to is like fancy Taco Bell.
Yeah. And it's just basically like, just imagine if the way I look at it is, just imagine if every restaurant stayed exactly the way it is, but was owned by Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Like, which brings the question, how do you know which Taco Bell? Is there, I'm going to take you out to Taco Bell.
Like, right. Is okay. There like fancy one? Are they all
the one on Solano, or the other one on Solano, or the one?
And didn't they give them tiny pills for their food? Wasn't it like?
No, it was just
tiny.
It was like aperitifs, basically. It was super fancy. Like, I got it. I took it as, of course, dinner gets interrupted by some bullshit so they can have more action. But I took it as like it was going to be like an 8-course meal, just to be like, this ain't your daddy's Taco Bell. But now that you mentioned, I didn't look very closely. And yeah, maybe it was just like pills with stuff drizzled on it. But this movie is, I give it credit. Like, there is not a single piece of dialogue in this movie that isn't set in whatever future this is. Like, everything There's no hallways. There's only corridors. There's no food. There's only, you know, fuel. Like, they just ever. And it's so weird, which begs the question, like, this is only 36 years in the future. Like, imagine in 30 years, everybody that's alive now forgets what a cell phone is because now we all call them pocket talkers, you know. It's just like I get, like, it's so funny. It reminds me almost because all of this happens and we never see anything outside of San Angeles. For all we know, New York hasn't changed.
Oh yeah. So yeah, Los Angeles, San Diego, Santa Barbara have all become, due to a great earthquake, San Angeles under one rule.
Which, because it's an earthquake, which I do another podcast out there, everyone, about the Wheel of Time. And the big thing about the Wheel of Time is the breaking. And after the breaking, like, no one remembers anything. Like, there are people who don't believe that snow exists because since the breaking, they haven't traveled. And that's 5,000 years. So this is the breaking, except for half of the population was alive before the earthquake. but they still can't remember anything before the earthquake. So yeah, I think this movie should have been 100 years. It didn't have to be 1,000 years, but I think 150, 200 years would have, which, you know, the whole point is that people are still alive that remember John Spartan and his antics.
The legend, the Demolition Man.
God, I'm just talking about this movie. It's so funny because this movie just kind of washes over you when you watch it. But then, you know, to think about it critically and talk about it critically, it kind of breaks you.
I mean, look, the movies you love from your childhood, the movies you love, you know, like I said, some of my favorite films, admittedly, folks, from my growing up watching way too much HBO, I proudly stand by Xanadu and Flash Gordon, Break-In 1 and 2, these films.
Smokey and the Bandit is one of the best movies.
Cannonball Run, I will stand by these films.
Yeah.
So if I was to look at it critically, like, I show Xanadu to friends of mine, they're like, this is the worst film. And but I try to sell them. I'm like, no, they're trying to do animation, and it's like Greek gods and roller skating and electronic music and dance and, like, you know, if it's a beloved childhood, like, that's fine.
Well, no,
you know?
It doesn't break me that way. It breaks me because I don't know what to focus on. I don't know what to talk about next. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to miss anything. And like I said, every single piece of dialogue in this movie is kind of weird and kind of worth talking about.
What I meant to do, and I didn't do it, I wanted to write down, Stallone's got some pretty bad cheesy one-liners in this, and I wanted to write them down and throw them into the podcast today, and I did not. I watched this like a week ago, so it's not as fresh. But he has some, like there was one line, I don't remember what the thing was, but the guy's like, you know, Wesley Snipes says something to him, and he just says, like, a really basic, like, no, it's gonna happen to you. Like, just like, it's like nothing, not original, not even a clever pun, just like, no. That's what you say. Like, it was, yeah. And Wesley Snipes, really, watching this, he's like the Joker, right? He's just like this maniacal, I just wanna see chaos, Mr. Jokey, Laffy. He's kind of like a martial arts Joker in this. He would have been.
And it's hilarious that, like, it's basically like I envision that he has his New Jack City set up.
Yeah.
Cause like he has taken over an apartment complex.
Uh-huh.
He's doing his thing. He's got a Scarface pile of cocaine in front of him. Like,
yeah,
I miss that. I miss when bad guys just did drugs. Like, that was a good time.
Oh yeah.
And then, but yeah, the goddamn bus drivers just didn't listen. So he hijacked a busload of people and murdered them just to keep his.
He's the Joker.
So like I wrote, like I said, at some point I had to stop writing because it was going to take me 5 hours to watch this movie every time I paused it. So like one of the things, like when they do a phone call, he's like, I will fiber op you back later. That's their that's how they talk about, I will call you back. The graffiti, the people that are doing the graffiti have super high tech, weird graffiti guns. But then also the wall that gets graffitied just kind of shakes it off like a wet dog.
Oh, yeah.
That seems like a battle not worth fighting.
I feel like watching this film, I didn't remember it all, but in the first few minutes, you like really get what's going on. Like he gets out of his, you know, they unfreeze Phoenix and like he gets out, but doesn't know how it happens. And then you show the leader. And as soon as you even see him, you're like, oh, the leader secretly put this in. Like, it's pretty obvious. In the 90s, it was probably like a plot twist that he sent Simon Phoenix to get the underground Dennis Leary people. But
yeah,
it's like real obvious now, the way that films have been made since then.
Do you think Widespread Panic got their band name from this movie?
No.
I do.
It's an expression.
I think they took it.
So yeah, I mean, you know, what are the clever takes on society? They got the Taco Bell thing. They don't have sex anymore. They have it through like a machine. You get fined every time you say a curse. There's no more toilet paper. There's shells.
And not a bad curse either. Not one of the seven big ones.
Yeah.
You can just say, damn it.
Right.
Fine.
So, you know, fun takes of the future. What did I read that Ford like dedicated like 18 vehicles to this for their future cars?
Yeah. They call the people who live underground that are not partaking in this new society as scraps.
Yeah, scraps. I you know, personally, I like the more, if I'm gonna go satire of the future, I would go with Idiocracy or what's the animated one? With the robot in the future where people are lazy.
Wally.
Yeah. I would take that as the better future satire films, you know. But this one tried. It's more than the usual slugfest.
And I was I played my part. I played Mr. Skin while watching this movie because I was curious if the sex scene when it's all virtual reality, I was just curious if that was Sandra Bullock who was actually in it, which I'm honestly still not sure if that's Sandra Bullock. But while I was going through that scene in slow motion, there were some nipples.
There
were some full on naked upper torsos, which that definitely wasn't Sandra Bullock.
Wow. I didn't see it.
But the close ups, it was such a close up on her mouth and her face. Like, I don't think that was actually Sandra Bullock. But yeah, 93 gratuitous nipples. You know, can't get that anymore. My favorite new slur of the 2032s, you dirty meat eater. It's so funny to think of, like, especially, you know, Scott and I go to the same trainer, and I think we get some of the same general advice from the same people, and you know, meat is good and salt is not the devil and fat doesn't make you fat and all that stuff. And it's just so funny to still like watch the 90s, how it was just like no salt, no butter, no meat, just all the things that, you know, we've been eating for 500 years, like are all of a sudden just outlawed. It's so crazy.
So does it hold up for you? I mean, you see a little critically, but you still have the love for...
I love it very much. It's just, it's so dense with the way they talk and what their perception of the future is, that it's just I could do a Demolition Man minute podcast. Like, I could definitely watch this movie 60 seconds at a time and talk for a good half hour about each 60 seconds, because there is so much going on. I did find my new, this may be better than Quantum. The magnetic accelerator gun. How does it work, Scott? It displaces the flow of neutrons through a non-linear cycloid electromagnetic accumulator.
I mean, that's a fun sentence. Come on.
That's
a, you drop that on a first date sentence, you're getting a handy. That's a good, it feels good coming off the tongue, doesn't it?
We are in the future now. Like, that sounds like a time travel gun. Not a anything that's going to cause you harm. That looks like it's going to send you 20 minutes into the past, not murder you.
That's fun. It's weird that the film was shot in 93, came out in 93, but they start it, the present day is 96.
Yeah.
It does feel a little few. And they don't even explain. They just say, hey, you're going to cryo prison. They didn't make it sound like, hey, here's this new thing and you're the first ones. It was just like, yeah, cryo prison.
Yeah.
Like, no need to. This is what happens.
It's 96. This is how we do it.
And really, just because the bad guy said, oh, John Spartan did this, they said, oh, yeah, you're guilty and you're being frozen for 50 years. That's for an awarded police officer. That's a lot.
Dude, I had the commentary on for a little bit while I was setting up my recording, and the director and one of the producers was talking about it. That freezing scene was no joke. Like, they built a watertight container and put Sylvester Stallone in it and filled it with liquid.
Oh, wow.
And they were like, we tested it and tested it and retested it because Sylvester Stallone was not excited about getting in there. So we had to prove our concept that we could get him out of there if need be. And
wow.
Ooh, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Some janky ass fucking TV movie prop.
This film had a pretty huge budget. And this guy that got his first film, I guess David Fincher had recommended him, but like, this is high budget. The sets, costumes, it was a big project. A lot of explosions.
Oh, they demolished a real building in this. That building at the beginning, like, there was an old warehouse they were tearing down in LA and they fucking blew it up. Like, that is awesome.
You're awesome. Yeah, it was a fun film. It's not 90s finest. It's all right.
I don't know. It might be 1993's finest. Let's see. Let's see what came out in 1993, Scott.
Because Speed was a little more, Matrix and Speed, more game changers, right?
Yeah, but that again was like 90, like Matrix was 99, wasn't it?
Oh, it's later on. Let's see. Oh, The Fugitive. That was, Tombstone. The Fugitive was pretty great, although I don't know if that holds up. Menace to Society. Does that count as an action film? Sniper. I remember I bought Sniper out of all my, when I had laser discs, I had Sniper as one of my laser discs. I have not seen that film since I saw it in the theater. I don't know why that is one that needed to make it to Laserdisc.
Do you remember?
Oh, Falling Down?
That was the one I was about. Do you remember that fucking movie?
That's a film that like no one thinks of as great, but it was such a good, like, this is what LA is like. In 93, it was kind of a look of how crazy things are, but then they take in a weird direction at the end.
The
True Romance,
the filmed in Billings, Montana, Josh and Sam.
Yeah,
they filmed at my elementary school.
Okay, I didn't.
Yeah, they did.
Cliffhanger, which was actually, I remember that being better, I think.
Hot Shots Part Due and Loaded Weapon,
but Tombstone, clearly.
Wait,
In the Line of Fire, whatever. Hard Target and Nowhere to Run. Big year for mediocre Jean-Claude Van Damme films. Alive. That's not action, but that's Striking Distance.
This screams, like, you look at this list and all you have to say is, this is a year before Pulp Fiction came out.
Well, isn't Pulp Fiction 96?
I thought it was 95. Is it early 96?
It's funny. I'm looking at this list and then Wesley Snipes, this is peak Snipes. Same year, he's got Boiling Point, Rising Sun, and Demolition Man. That's a big Snipes year.
Wow. Yeah.
You're all up in your Snipes.
That's the kind of year that makes you want to skip out on taxes.
What else is in that year? Cyborg 2? No.
Leprechaun
thanks.
Starring
Dragon.
Starring Jennifer Aniston.
Oh man. Three Musketeers? Wait, is there another Snipes film? No. Ooh, that looks like a bad film. Have you heard of TC 2000?
No.
A futuristic cop and his lethal comrade battle ruthless gangs, corruption, and an indestructible killing machine. I don't know any of these. Billy Blanks, isn't it? Oh, no. Oh, no one needs that. Sliver came out that same year, so Sharon Stone was starting to do her thing.
Okay, let's talk about the elephant in the room, Scott.
Okay.
Did you listen to the credits song?
Oh, I forgot. What was it? Remind me.
It was a song named Demolition Man.
Oh, yeah. The original from with Grace Jones and Sting.
Oh, it's Grace Jones. I knew it was Sting.
So I think Grace Jones is on it, too. When the guy was writing the script, I guess this was on and it's something.
Who called Sting?
The song had already been established. It wasn't made for the film.
They still had to pay for it. Who did?
Yeah.
Like someone said, yes, you can put my song in your movie. Like,
yes.
That, which I didn't realize at first. I was like, that's so crazy that Sting wrote a song for this. But when did the song come out? Like, was it a mid 70s song or did it come out like that year?
Hang on. I think it was already out.
Well, it's definitely already out, but like by how far or by how far? I use words good. Written by Sting and performed by Grace Jones.
Yeah.
The Police later released their rendition of the song on their album Ghost in the Machine in the summer of 1980 while he was living
in an older song.
Peter O'Toole's house.
So, yeah, older song. They just, it was on and the guy was like, when he was writing the script, it was like, oh, it's a good idea. Is that the elephant in the room?
Weird. I know that there's only so many words in the English language. So the fact that there's a song out there called Demolition Man and there's a movie out there called Demolition Man, that makes sense to me. The fact that they got that song, I mean, I guess since it was written in 80, like I was thinking it was written more recently, or not recently to us now, but recently to the movie Demolition Man. So I was like, well, they would have had to pay top dollar for it if that song came out within a year or two. But the fact that it was over 10 years old and it wasn't a very popular song, they were probably like, Warner Brothers was probably like, here's $1,000. And they were like, cool, go nuts. Do whatever you want.
They put a budget on this shit.
I can't wait till we get together so we can have a fluid transfer for this. All right, I'm going to find a couple of... I want to talk about this movie more because it's so insane, but I don't even know where to start. Like, every time I look up at the screen, I got it playing right now. I want to talk about the scenes. Everyone, go see Demolition Man. Like, do yourself a favor and watch this movie because it is... If you're a younger, you know, and you weren't around in 93, like, this is... a crazy vision of the future. We're almost like, this is like Back to the Future level future that we are not gonna see in 8 years. And if you remember kind of seeing it and you're like, oh yeah, I remember that, like, you need to see it again and just remember how fucking insane we were in 1993 about what we thought the world was gonna be like, even a little bit.
That's a good pitch. I'll take it.
Okay, it's got a 67 audience score and a 63 critic score. Like, I would have thought, like, this movie would not have qualified for Rotten Popcorn, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
A product of its time. A bit silly watching it now for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one-liners are just...
Yeah.
Because it's like, usually in movies like this, you've got one person who's big with the one-liners, and then maybe you'll get one or two out of the others. But Wesley Snipes is just talking in one-liners. And then, of course, Sylvester Stallone isn't going to get outdone. And then, you know, Sandra Bullock isn't really one-liners, but she's just such a silly version of the future that, oh. I remember watching Demolition Man decades ago on a VHS rental and hoping against hope that it was going to be another awesome early 90s action extravaganza. My mind tried to reset to the same hopeful expectations on rewatch that it would be better than I remembered. Sadly... Both times. I was doomed for disappointment. My first problem with Demolition Man is simply that they do little or nothing to make the characters endearing. Sylvester Stallone plays a rogue cop who is never given a moment to shine as a good guy, and simply giving him an overly harsh penalty doesn't magically make him more endearing. Sandra Bullock and the rest of the people in the future are so dumb and naive that they fail to do anything worthwhile and only get in the way most of the time. It's perhaps even more egregious from her character because she... Oh, wow. This person really went on a rant. I have given you enough screen time.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, Sandra Bullock is everyone out there, you know, if you haven't seen this movie, you need another reason to watch it. She is the one character in this movie who is fascinated with the late 20th century and the savagery of the late 20th century. And mind you, may I remind you people that she was probably... Okay, no, she was. She was not a lot. 1996. Like, she was probably born before the earthquake. Like, she is not... Everybody in this movie, all of their parents remember the 90s fondly. Like, it's not ancient. It's not like us watching Deadwood and being like, wow, that's weird. It's like us watching Happy Days and being like, whoa, their phone has a cord. I can't even. What? This is fake. Oh, wow. Yeah. Go see Demolition Man, everybody. What time is Demolition Man?
Oh boy. Well, it tries. It's got some rewatchability. It's not doing a lot for science. It's not horribly creative. It's easily watchable. Oh man. I don't know. Is that 5:30 maybe?
Whoa.
What are you putting? Desmond's offended.
5:30. Wow.
All right, maybe six.
I just love watching this. It's a terrible movie, but
yeah, that you love watching, and that's okay.
I'm happy when it's on.
That counts for something. I support this. Don't let me taint you.
I'm gonna keep it. I feel like double digits is pushing it a little bit too far, so I'm gonna go 9:45.
Wow.
9:40. Like,
that's the biggest difference we have.
Like, I was really close to 10 o'clock, but I'm like, no, I think you got to actually be a good movie to get into the double digits. You can't just be fun to watch.
That's fair.
That's my own personal. Yeah, this is definitely, without a doubt, our biggest gap. This makes sense. This is kind of a short one, everybody, because I think you should just go watch it. That's all I have to say about this movie.
Go watch some glass breaking.
See some defenestration.
It's a time travel in that you are seeing how action films were made in the 90s and how it's different than now.
it's a time machine, because yet, just like Scott said, you're watching what movies were like in the 90s, which is fucking insane, and then you're seeing what they think the future is going to be in 8 years, which is equally insane.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, you get to hear Sylvester Stallone say hunka chunka. Like, who doesn't want that? And Sandra Bullock, she is a new age strong woman. Like, that was, if anything about their future was reaching for 1993, it's that women were gonna have a say in what they partook in with a man, which is very forward looking. And I hope that all the young women who watched this in 1993 took a cue from Sandra Bullock and are standing up for themselves and their own needs and wants. What do you think? What was Sylvester? If Sylvester Stallone had not removed his helmet, if Sylvester Stallone had not removed his helmet during what did they call it? Sim sex. Was he going to ejaculate?
We don't know. Is it a physical in the pants? I mean, it seemed like they don't get too sloppy. Like, it's a mental one, but
I mean, it was definitely enjoyable. I mean, he was weirded out because he wasn't used to it, but he was not enjoying what was going on.
He was not enjoying
it. He was not enjoying it. I mean, yeah.
He was not enjoying it.
I mean, you gotta like the there's something to be said about having absolutely safe connection with someone you just met. Like, that's not terrible. Like,
yeah, maybe, without getting pregnant.
Maybe fluid transfer isn't illegal, but on a first date, maybe have some helmet sex. Let's not
don't knock it till you try
it. Let's not have any accidents just yet. Let's ease into this. And third date is fluid transfer time. Oh, thank you, everybody. Go watch Demolition Man.
Thanks for Patreoning. Get your Patreon.
Thank you so much. Please get your Patreon. Tell other people where to get their Patreon. Patreon.com/soundsawesome. It's great. We got time travel adjacent movies such as Demolition Man. And we have fantasy-ish movies from the Wheel of Time crew. We just did Big Trouble in Little China, people. Like, you can listen to us talk about Demolition Man and Big Trouble in Little China in the same day.
Wait, where'd you do Big Trouble in Little China?
It's for our Wheel of Time fantasy Patreon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that, but I've officially, like, combined our Patreons. It's just one big Patreon.
Nice.
Now. So every 2 weeks, you get, I alternate between a time pop, time travel adjacent podcast and a Wheel of Time fantasy, not Wheel of Time fantasy movie.
Double your Patreon, double your fun, double your Patreon with Double Mint Com.
And if you want another free podcast, head on over to Movies Are Us, where me and Justin and Jeremy are talking about all the kinds of movies that we are that are made based on play properties, board games, video games, toys. If you could find it at Movies R Us, speaking of the 1990s, holy shit. If you remember Toys R Us, you are our fans. And if they turned any of that weird stuff into a film, we're going to talk about it over at Movies R Us. And that one is
do it
all free, everybody.
Get your fun on and your Patreon on.
And your Patreon.
Hey.
Oh, they're about ready to do the hunka chunka.
Hunka chunka. No, you know what? I want a meat and I want medium rare and I want a cigarette and I want to take a cigarette because I like it. And that's what I like to do. And I like to talk fast and I do these rants because I think they're funny and it makes me a badass. And I got a career of just doing this. There was a point where he couldn't do that. After like a year of doing it, he's like, okay, you can't just do this one gimmick any longer.
Well, and especially, yeah. Well, because he did his whatever, I can't remember what his stand up was called that year, but it was basically just that.
Yeah.
Just him. How do you do that much cocaine before going on stage and then make jokes about doing cocaine? That's a brave, brave stand-up comedian.
That's comedy in those times. I'm glad I'm recording this part.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.